Welcome to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends, part of My Journey of Faith Ministries. I'm Carissa Hartage, and I'm excited to have you join me each week as I chat with friends about the ups and downs of their journeys of faith. You'll become familiar with voices such as Shelley Chandler, Sarah Heer, Rebecca Bean, and more. And you will also hear from stories of women who have experienced victories and struggles, but continue to trust God on their journeys. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. In other words, we were never meant to do life alone. So join us each week for a little bit of encouragement and for strategies to help each other navigate as we continue on the journey together. Hey guys! Thank you for joining us another Tuesday for On the Journey with Carissa and Friends. I'm so glad that you're coming back to join us, and I know that you've been blessed as much as I have by the incredible conversations and women that have been on the podcast. I'm so grateful to God for the opportunity just to share these stories, hear these stories, and listen to the words of wisdom and application. We never want you to walk away without resources and tools and just some insight into how to move forward from wherever you are, whatever situation or circumstance that you're in. We want to be there with you on the journey truly as much as possible. So I'm so grateful that you're back with us, and we are going to continue to do just that today. I have my sweet friend Gretchen Leach with me. Hi, Gretchen.
Hello, Carissa. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm really excited for today. We've tried to do this a million times, and we battled really illness, I think, has been the biggest. We had the flu. Did you guys have the flu or strep? Y'all got sick, didn't you, your kiddos?
Yes. And our daughter had the flu.
Yeah. Yeah. We both have had, like, my son had it and then your daughter had
yes.
it.
Yes.
I'm over the flu season. Thankfully, it is starting to feel like spring.
Yes. It's warm today.
Thank the Lord. It really is food for my soul. I mean, the sunshine and it's amazing.
Yes.
So, Gretchen, you and I go way back, way back. Mm-hmm. We met at UCA. So, So we both went to UCA and we joined a sorority together, and we were pledge sisters in this particular sorority. And I always joke, like, I don't even want to go into any details about that. It's really funny. There's a Taylor Swift meme that you send to your college friends, and it says, "I'm telling all my college friends that I would like to be excluded from that narrative." And I really need to be excluded from that narrative. I'm grateful for the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ.
Aren't we all?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But what's so cool about all of that is that we pledged together. We went through Rush together. We, you know, went to school together. And then I don't remember the last time we even saw each other. I moved away. You moved away.
Probably since college that we really talked.
Yes. 15 years? How many years have we been out? A long time. Since 05 is when I graduated. So it's been a while. Okay. And so now, just because of the grace and glory of God.
God's perfect planning.
Yes. Why don't you tell everybody how we reconnected?
Yes. Well, Carissa, this was her children's first year at my son's school.
Yes.
And so we ran into each other at open house.
And it's so neat that was really a gift for me too, because it was so scary being the new people.
Right.
And then walking in, and I saw not one, but two of my sorority sisters, mm-hmm. because our friend is now
a teacher.
Yes. At Chennault. Mm-hmm. So, it's awesome. It's awesome.
And it was a perfect planning. We started mm-hmm. talking about the Bible studies that we're both doing, and we just reconnected perfectly.
I mean, how did that conversation even come up as quickly as we crossed paths? I mean, we had like a 3-minute conversation, and it just happened to come out in those 3 minutes that you were writing, had just written one or were writing one. I can't remember if you'd already written it.
No, I had not started writing. I was inviting you to a Bible study that I was attending.
That's right. And you hadn't done James yet.
No.
Right? Oh my gosh. And it just, mm-hmm. Ministry has been my passion forever, for a long, long time, just by the grace of God. And so, then we got to reconnect and yes. Let's talk a little bit about, because the point of today's conversation, we really want to encourage you women in your calling. And Gretchen is going to talk a little bit more about what that has meant to her, what that word, just that word means. But what I hope you will come to really find in your heart, really let settle in your heart when this conversation is done, is that all of us have one. And it takes different shapes, which you're going to talk more about, Gretchen. But if you're within the realm of my voice, if you can hear my voice, you have a call on your life. And we want you to be bold and be brave because, as you and I were just saying in our prayer time, we need women who are bold, who are willing to rise up and not let obstacles come in their path to respond to the call in their lives, because we need help. Like, we need women. We need encouragement. We need support. We need people to support and to encourage. We need you to respond to that call. And God needs you to, for his sake. He commands us to go absolutely. And make disciples, right? And our purpose is to live for his glory here. And you hiding because you feel inadequate, or because you feel like you're not ready, or because you feel like you're too much of a sinner, or there's mm-hmm. so many things that Satan will tell us, mm-hmm. Which I know you can relate to, Gretchen, that
absolutely
yes, to keep us not really living up to what we know God has put on our life. So just to start, why don't you tell us about kind of how you settled into this place, and then we'll talk more about your calling and what calling means to you.
Okay, well, it was, I grew up in a Christian home, Christian parents that taught me how to fully love God and how to fear God in a good, perfect
sure.
way.
Yeah.
And so I always have had a desire to do something for God, to step out and be different mm-hmm. for God. And, it took a long time for me to get ready for that. And, I've been married for 15 years now, mm-hmm. roughly. And as you mature in your married life, start having kids and stuff, then you start taking the time to say, okay, God, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something for you. So what do you want for me to do for
mm-hmm.
you? And I will start by saying I am very much an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be out in the front. I would rather do stuff for the church that nobody knows I'm doing. So I start out trying to find that kind of work for me to
mm-hmm.
do. And I really, started kind of showing some interest in these things,
mm-hmm.
but nobody would call me to do these things. That kind of work was not coming to me to do. And I was sitting there thinking, God, what is going on? Why are you not giving this to me?
I mean, this fits my personality.
Yes.
Don't you want me to be comfortable with what you are asking me?
Yeah, I'm like, nothing's... And the jobs that I did do in the church and around did not fulfill me
mm-hmm.
the way that things are supposed to. And I will say, I don't want that to sound selfish or you wanting a fulfillment
mm-hmm.
in what you do. But I will say, when you find your gift
mm-hmm.
that God gives
yes.
for you to do, he will fulfill you in a way that you can't even
yes.
imagine.
You have to live it. You have to experience
yes.
it to understand it.
But
yes.
it is a fulfillment.
And you know.
Yes.
You know.
And
right.
it's a fulfillment that only he can give you.
That's right.
And so about this time that I was really feeling discouraged, my husband was diagnosed with cancer,
mm-hmm.
and we had an 8-month-old and a 4-year-old at the time.
Mm.
And so he battled his cancer for 2 years, and God knew, it's not your time, Gretchen.
Wow.
It's not your time.
Wow.
You need to focus on your family.
Mm.
That's your number one job right now, is to take care of your family.
Okay, so he did not remove the feeling that you needed to be serving God, like that he had something planned for you.
No.
He didn't take that feeling away the entire time, and you were getting kind of frustrated that, okay, I feel like you're wanting me to use me, Lord. Mm-hmm. Why isn't anybody, like, why is this not opening up? But really, you still had that feeling. He just had to hold you back for a little while.
Yes, I felt like the doors were shut. It's not your time.
Yeah.
This is what you need to be doing.
Focus on your family. Yeah.
And I am very happy to say and very thankful to say that my husband is now in remission.
Yes, praise God.
And so, you know, we started living this mm-hmm. life of normalcy, whatever that means. Yes.
Whatever
that
normal
word
means.
Very loosely for those of you who have either been a caregiver of somebody going through cancer or battle cancer on your own, you know that there's really never a normal mm-hmm. life again. You are always anxious of and fearful of what might come.
Right.
But
so it changes your view of the whole world.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. But, you know, we are in this season of our life where we have rest and remission that we are so thankful for. And so, you know, about a half a year after he was put in remission, my church kind of asked me to give my testimony mm-hmm. to a group of women. And I, you know, the introvert that I am and not wanting to get up in public, I, of course, did not want to, but I felt God pushing me to say, yes,
okay.
You need to do this.
So let me pause here and ask mm-hmm. you, what was the feeling that you had after, even though you didn't want to do it, right? Was the feeling that you had when they asked you to serve similar to the feeling that you had before you found out about the cancer diagnosis, where you felt like God was calling you to serve his kingdom? Were those feelings similar, or was this more like, I will serve you as long as it's what I feel comfortable doing, what I want to do, take me to those places, versus when you were asked to speak, mm-hmm. was that more like a reluctant, okay, you're telling me to do this, I know you're telling me to do this? Did you feel the same as we use the phrase call in our discussion? Did you feel the same call?
I felt a much stronger call for this.
Wow.
To speak.
Okay.
I sat down to write out my testimony
mm-hmm.
and the words just flowed from me. And I mean, it was such an experience that I've never experienced before in my life. I would kind of take time out mm-hmm. every couple of days to sit and write for maybe an hour,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote it in a 7-day period.
Wow.
And the first time I read it to my husband, he just was crying because, I mean,
it didn't feel like
we did
you.
Not know. We didn't know that I had it in me, and I don't. It was totally the Holy Spirit telling me every word to say.
It's incredible.
And so, you know, I gave this testimony, and I finally felt that fulfillment.
Mm.
I finally felt God saying, this is where I want you to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I was sitting there saying, finally, God, you opened up that crack, you know, for me to experience this and to start doing your work. And I heard him saying, Gretchen, finally, you are ready.
Oh.
It was a time, you know, when you go through a traumatic experience and you have that in your life, the only person or you can rely on is God.
Yeah.
He is your complete lifeline. And that's what my family had to do for those 2 years mm-hmm. is totally rely on God. And I'd never had to do that before.
Wow.
And so my husband and I, we learned so much through that and grew so much through that, that I think finally I got it.
Yeah.
You know, it clicked with me. I understood what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think God finally said, you're ready. You know what it is.
I love that so much. And what I love is what I've experienced as well. And I think that most people, when they do hit that spot, hit what just that affirmation that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean the work is easy, right? It doesn't mean it's not a lot of effort and time and energy. It just means that you almost feel like you're in it with a partner who's doing most the workload, right? You still have to do your studying. You still have to do your prep. You still had to write it all down. But it's almost like you feel like there's a partner within you that is making the content mm-hmm. come out. So it takes a lot of energy and effort in the action, but not in the content, right? Not in what's coming out of it, because it's the Holy Spirit doing it. Anytime you have a calling on your life or anything that you're doing for a kingdom purpose that God has specifically set you aside to do, you don't feel alone in the work. Mm-hmm. You still have to do the work, and the work is still hard sometimes. It's still challenging, and it's weighty because you do feel the weight of kingdom work, but you never feel alone. You always feel like somebody is kind of, it's that stream of living water that Jesus talks about, that thing that bubbles out from you, that comes out of you in overflow if you give them the right space to do it in. Absolutely.
Yes. You feel the Holy Spirit more than you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So after you gave your testimony, that was really the first season of you stepping into that calling. And so what was it like after?
Well, a couple weeks after my church, they needed somebody to step up and commit to teaching a Sunday school class. And I mean, it was like, I can do that. I want to do that.
Yeah.
So, I will say, like, the second I said, yes, I would do that, God put on my heart, I want you to write your Bible study. I don't want you to just teach from a book. I want you to teach from my word. I want you
to... That's a whole nother level, Gretchen. That's a whole nother level.
So I started praying, okay, you want me to do this, what book do you want me to teach on first? And he told me the book of James.
Yeah.
So I sat down and wrote an 8-week Bible study on the book of James.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me just interrupt you for a second. When you say he told me, or you feel like, what does that mean to you? Like, what is that experience like for you? Because I know it's different for everyone when they get that affirmation, which is really what you're talking about, just that guidance and affirmation. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf and we don't know what to pray. And then he in turn leads us and guides us and convicts us and counsels us. That's his role, the Holy Spirit's role. So what does that feel like for you?
Well, I've had the same conversation with many people.
Yeah. It's a big question.
It is. I questioned, and I wanted to get into this anyways, when I was writing James, and how do I know this is God telling me what he wants me to do? Because how do I know that it's not just something that I desire?
Right. Yes.
And it's really the Holy Spirit telling me. And every time I questioned something like that, I would hear from multiple people the same answer.
Yes.
And the answer would be funny because they would say, if you hear something multiple times, then you can guarantee God is wanting you to hear that.
Absolutely.
And, people would say, you know, this is what you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be exactly the question that I was having. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would question, how do I know for sure that God is even calling me to do this?
Mm-hmm. That's what I think a lot of people ask.
Yes. Yeah. How do I know that this isn't just something that I desire and this is something that I want to do? I want to teach Bible study at my church.
Right.
How do I know that this is actually God calling me?
Yeah.
Because about the time that I started teaching the James study, the devil attacked me very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard. All kinds of fears, doubts, questions came up.
Yeah.
And we sat down and had lunch and I talked about this very same thing that I started doubting that God was even calling me to do this.
Right.
And the fears and the doubts in my mind were saying, you're not qualified to do this.
Yes.
You're not smart enough to do this.
Yeah.
You know, the devil was telling me, nobody wants to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Nobody is going to enjoy, you know, you're not enthusiastic enough.
Yeah.
You don't have.
Yeah. Your style isn't good enough.
You don't have enough pizzazz that people are going to want. It got so far to where I was even questioning, I'm not pretty enough.
Oh, yes.
My voice is not good enough. I don't have the verbiage that a teacher needs.
Mm.
You know, I haven't been to seminary. I haven't done any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil was telling me, you can't do this.
Right.
And I will say, our Lord, our Jesus Christ, does not expect us to be perfect.
Absolutely.
The only thing he expects of us is to step out on that water with him.
Yes.
Having courage, being strong,
yes.
And most of all, having the faith that he is walking us through this.
That's right.
And that can go for anybody that is stepping out. You don't have to have a calling to mm-hmm. teach, preach, you know, be a worship leader, anything like that. All you have to do is have a family, have children.
Be a wife.
Yes.
Just getting married is stepping out on the water, right?
Being a wife, having children that, you know, you are supposed to be that godly wife and mother to, and to teach them about Jesus Christ.
Right.
You have a friend mm-hmm. that you want to spread the word to. All we have to do, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have the perfect language and know the Bible inside and out to do that.
Absolutely.
All we have to do is have faith that we are God's messengers.
That's right.
And he is going to come from us.
That's right. Absolutely. And two things I know to be true, pretty much across the board is that, well, three things. Number one, we have a really good father. Mm-hmm. And he, I believe, builds in us the desire to do his will. I think that what happens is he's not going to call us to something we hate.
Right.
He's going to call us to something that probably will make us uncomfortable because I think we're all pretty much uncomfortable getting out there like that. But what I'm seeing is that most of the time, he works with what we love for a reason.
Yes.
He crafts us. He makes us. And he gives us our passions, and he gives us the desires of our hearts. And he even allows us to be in circumstances that cultivate those desires and those passions. And he does it for a reason, because he is sovereign and strategic in our lives. And so 9 times out of 10, our calling is going to be something that we love.
Right.
I think it's crazy so much we think that God calls us to the terrible places where we're miserable, and he, you know, it's just all about the suffering, and we do experience suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is just a prime example of that. But I do also believe that he wants us to thrive in ministry because it's something that we're passionate about. That's a good indication that you need to go there and look for God.
Right.
If there's an area that you're particular, like you're passionate about God's word.
Yes. And I will say, I love digging deep into his word and really fully understanding the concept of why things were written the way they were and exactly what they mean. And so I've always loved that. So this shouldn't come as a shock to me.
Sure. But maybe the getting up and teaching it part is the surprising, the uncomfortable part. But, you know, that's beautiful, because I think what he does is he gives us our passion, mm-hmm. right? And then he calls us to use it for his kingdom. And that's where sometimes the discomfort comes in.
Yes.
It's not necessarily in what we're doing. It's how we're doing it. It's the media or the mechanism that's used to give that to the world that can be scary sometimes, for sure.
Yes, it can definitely be fearful, especially when you're first starting out, in that you're not going to say the right thing.
Right.
You know, people are going to find out eventually that you're a fraud.
Yeah.
You know,
wait till they see how I really am.
Right, right. You know, I'm not a good enough person
right.
to be teaching God's word or to be spreading his word. They're going to find my faults and realize that they don't need to be learning from me. But that's, God uses us. Mm-hmm. Nobody is perfect. He uses us to spread his word. And I will say, I fought that battle. Mm-hmm. My James study was 8 weeks long, and I fought that battle the entire 8 weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's another reason why. So you've got this passion. I believe God is there in that passion, gives it to you for a reason, because that's probably around where your calling is going to be. And then if you've got that passion and you really feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit, and then you get attacked there mm-hmm. by Satan, that's a number two guaranteed way to know that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Satan does not want us doing God's work.
No. And for you, your stronghold really was fear. And so he hammered you.
He did.
Hammered you with it.
I've always struggled, you know, with anxiety and fear, and I'd gotten in a good place with it, and yes, he attacked me right where he knew he could get me.
So how did you get past it? Like, what did you do, first of all, to persevere? Because you really did. Isn't that interesting that James is a lot about perseverance, and that's what you had to do?
I love James.
And so how did you persevere through that and come to the other side of the fear? Do you still battle it? What do you do when that sneaks back in? Or,
well, I will say, as soon as I realized that fear and those questions were coming from the devil, mm-hmm. I immediately said, I'm taking off the control. I need to be in control, because I'm like totally losing control over this, you know, calling that God has given me.
Right.
And so I took the reins back.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many times do we do that? We say, God, here, this is what you want to do. I'm giving it to you. And then the second the wind starts to blow, we gain control back.
Yes.
And that's what I did. And it took that entire 8 weeks for me to realize that and then say, okay, I have to fully submit to God. And if I don't, then this is not going to go the way God planned it.
That's right.
It will never go the way he planned it if I'm in control.
That's right.
So I ended up just fully giving everything to him.
What did that look like?
Well, I was so, when God cracked the door open for me, mm-hmm. so many opportunities just flooded me.
And that's number three, if you know you're doing God's calling, is that people will start to ask you to do things.
Out of the blue.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, things just started flooding me, and I started getting overwhelmed with all the opportunities. And when I fully submitted everything to God and said, okay, God, I'm fearful. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what you want me to focus on. Yeah. I have so many areas of my life, from being a wife to being a mother to, you know, helping my church, helping my community, so many areas of my life that when I gave it to him, he gave me rest from some areas that he did not feel like were supposed to be so important right then.
Wow.
And I feel that comes with anybody's life, whether you have a calling into ministry or not. When you fully submit it to him, when you are feeling overwhelmed, he will give you those times of rest to focus on what you need to be focusing on.
Yeah.
And I have found in different areas, in different times since the James study, I've since written a Hebrews study.
Yes.
And, you know, he gave me rest from other areas of my ministry to sit and write that study and to teach that study. And then new things, I already see new things coming up after
Hebrews is over.
And, you know, and then you have to always take time, like we've said, for being a wife and a mother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since my husband's cancer battle, we are very big into volunteering with the mm-hmm. Leukemia and Lymphoma
yes.
Society.
Yes.
And, I mean, he gives me breaks from my ministry to focus on that and to focus on just being the wife that I need to be yeah. for my husband and
right.
and being his best cheerleader and his, you know,
support system.
Yes, just
absolutely.
Being there by his side and,
yes.
and helping him with his baby.
Yeah. And you have to absolutely be sure to be in doing your due diligence of being in your word and in prayer. And I know that that's something
yes.
that you actively do before you start any study.
Yes.
Is
so many people tell me that at the beginning mm-hmm. that don't just make time to learn things to teach.
That's right.
You have to make your relationship
that's
with
right.
Jesus Christ.
That's what overflow is, right?
Make
overflow is when you're filling up first and it's flowing out mm-hmm. from you, not when you're working to teach and then taking
yes.
in. You've got to be doing it simultaneously so it just continually flows out. That's right.
Well, kind of like in a family, how the family dynamics without, you know, the godly marriage and God being the center of your family,
yeah.
then your kids will not get what you need
mm-hmm.
from yourself or from God. It's the same way if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. If he's not fulfilling you and by you reading the Bible and staying in his word
mm-hmm.
and staying in a good prayer life, then you can't fulfill the call to go out and
yeah.
spread his word to others.
That's right. No, we can't survive without it.
No.
We just can't. There's no way around that. There's just no way around that. It's got to be personal relationship first. It's heart first,
mm-hmm.
and the rest emanates from the heart.
Yes.
So one thing I do want all of you to know is that if you want to hear more from Gretchen, she's going to be sharing her Hebrew study with us in the near future, and I'm excited to help share that. She's worked so hard and is already almost done teaching it at her home local church, but she's going to share that with all of our sweet My Journey of Faith ministry people and friends. And so watch out for that. And let us just encourage you, if you have questions about how to step into your calling or what that looks like, you can email me at heartage5@hotmail.com, or you can email
yes.
Gretchen. She would love to speak with you about it. Gretchen, why don't you
yes.
share where you can be found?
And my email is dgleach, L-E-E-C-H, mm-hmm. at sbcglobal.net. And I'm on Facebook. Just
are you on
Gretchen
all the social
Leach.
Media? On all the
Instagram,
social media?
Instagram okay. is Gretch Leach.
Okay, and we'll be sure and add in the comment section or in the info section her contact information, because our hearts really are for women stepping
yes,
in
yes.
to the calling on their lives. So thank you. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank
and
you
this
for
is not the
me.
Last you're going to hear from Gretchen. We're going to speak more on this in the future. And she's going to be back to talk about several other things, including her journey through surviving cancer with her husband and
mm-hmm.
what that experience was like. So she is definitely a friend that will be returning frequently. So thank you guys. And as always, always be sure to encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. See you next Tuesday. Okay.